Good evening. Welcome. Actually, I'm the guest over here, so you're welcoming me. First, I want to express a Kares Hatov number of people. First and foremost, there's a gentleman in New York by the name of Shimon Lefkowitz who was gracious enough to lend financial support to this effort. And so I thank him first. Secondly, I want to thank Mrs. Lichter for spearheading this here, and Mrs. Barone, and for my nephew, Rabbi Pesach Siegel, for putting this together. This is the first session in a 10-session series, Bez Hashem, on mentoring in the utilizing the concept of Menuchas HaNefesh and the Menucha principle. The goal is to teach each of you how to serve as guides and mentors to both individuals and groups that you work with, using the eternal wisdom of Chazal. Actually, this is the second program, a mentor training program. The first was a program we finished in Muncie about 3 or 4 months ago. We had, Baruch Hashem, a very fine crowd, and a number of individuals have already gone on to start groups and to do individual work and experience a great sense of hatzlacha using these concepts. So I'm feeling very optimistic about what I'm going to be teaching you, what you'll be learning. The first session is Baruch Hashem, I'm here in Yerushalayim, came for the Chagim. The following nine sessions will Bezer Hashem be over the internet, and we'll give you more information about that later. So, who is this program for? It's for anyone who wishes to help others, who has life experience, who has personal experience. Whether we're helping chassanim and kalas, or whether we're helping for shalom bayis, mechanchim, mechanchos, outreach worker, people working with adolescents, almonis, grushis, people dealing with loneliness, depression, anxiety. And what are we teaching? It's important to know that we're not teaching mental health here. This is not a program of mental health. I was approached a number of months ago by someone who was a mental health educator. And my position was that I'm not teaching mental health. We're teaching Chazal. We're not in competition. It's two different worlds. In mental health, we try to help people lead balanced lives, deal with different symptoms, and be productive in their lives. In this program, we're teaching how to acquire the concept and the skills that enable us to achieve Menuchas HaNefesh for the purpose of Avodas Hashem. And with the symptoms that we're experiencing, or others are experiencing, whether it's be obsessive thinking, anxiety, depression, addictions, lack of shalom bias, inability to make a commitment towards marriage, dealing with any kind of life situation, anything that detracts from our ability to appreciate the beauty of life that Hashem has placed in front of us. Anything that diminishes our ability to lead a life which follows the Ratzon Hashem, which deprives us or our children, anything that takes us off that path, not for the sake of mental health, because we're not here in this world to achieve mental health. We're here to be Ovdei Hashem, to the Ratzon Hashem. We're here, as I sometimes tell people, when we used to go ice skating, you get your ice skates and you go ice skating. At the end of the session, you give back your ice skates. In this world, we have a session that's called life. At the end, we return our ice skates on the Shabbos to Ribbono Shel Olam. We want to make sure that we do it in the best way possible, that we use our time here in this world well. And anything that interferes with our ability or the ability of others to achieve a life which is where we have the ability, the bechira, the chairus, the freedom to experience life as Ovdei Hashem with all its beauty and all its fulfillment, mitzvahs, emuna, chasadim, anything that deprives us of that, we have a responsibility to ourselves and to others to help them achieve that. And there's no one who walks this planet who wants to be an Ovdei Hashem where Hashem deprives them of that ability. Each one of us has within us, Hashem places within us an inner koach, an inner strength to achieve it. Without it, there's no bechira. And without bechira, how can there be schar v'onish? How can there be any reward? How can there be any schusim? So, Hashem gives us the ability. He also gives us lives which sometimes can seem very challenging. He knows what He gave us. He knows everything about us. He knows our shoe size, our social security numbers, Mispar Zehut. He knows our parents' names. He knew our parents' parents' names. He knew everything about us. Then, now, in the future. And still, He knows that we can achieve this. Our goal is to have the skills to possess the maftechos, the keys to do this. Now, what is Menuchas HaNefesh? We'll define Menuchas HaNefesh later, more detail. We can find Menuchas HaNefesh's definition on the Shabbos Mincha. In the Tefillah, Chazal gives us 8 definitions of Menuchas HaNefesh. What are they there? Of Ava, Nedava, Emes Ve'amuna, Hashkei Vetach, Shalom Shalva. All of these are incredibly beautiful states of mind. To be an Ohev, to be a Nadiv, to be a Balamuna, to be an Isheket, Shaket, a quiet person. All of these are the definitions of menuchas nefesh. And once we learn how to acquire these skills that are there for each of us, we see there is nothing else in life. There are no other experiences in life that compare to them. There is no adventure. There is no thrill. There is no meaning. There is no fulfillment. There is nothing that compares with each of these definitions that the Chazal gives us of menuchas nefesh. The program that I, Bez Hashem, hope to teach you over the next 10 weeks is based on a new book of mine that Bez Hashem I've just finished actually. The first book was on dating, on marriage. The second was on the Menucha principle on Shidduchim, dating and engagement. And the third one is also a Menucha principle book, and it's called The Menucha Principle, The Torah's Gift of Self-Empowerment. What it means is that we don't have to look anywhere to feel a sense of bechira, of self-empowerment, outside of the Dalet Amos of Torah. On the one hand, we learn, Chazal says, Chochmas Bagoyim Tamin, that if somebody tells you that the Goyim have Chochma, believe them. I've come to believe that that Chazal was not referring to the Chochma of life. I've come to believe that they were referring to the Chochma of technology.
It's clear from the Chazal. Torah is the Goyim, Torah is the Rav.
That's right.
So it can't be different.
What Chazal teaches us about ourselves, Ben Odom La'atzmo, Ben Odom La'chaverim, Ben Odom La'mokom, I've come to realize that we have no greater source of information, of hadracha, than Chazal. And that's why the program that we'll be learning is based, I think, although there have been many influences in my life, the sole source of the information and the experiences comes from Chazal. In this program, we're going to cover five different areas. I'll tell you what they are. Today we're, actually it's six including today, we'll be discussing an introduction to Menuchas Nefesh and Pizur Nefesh. After we finish that, we'll be dealing with the awareness of the deeper self. A very fascinating concept of a deeper lives that exists within each of us. Then we'll be discussing the difference between Menuchas HaNefesh and Pizur HaNefesh. And after that, we'll be discussing the five dimensions of self. The dimension of thoughts and feelings and behavior and physiology and relationships. Then we'll be discussing transformations. And finally, we'll go into the six gates of personal empowerment. The six gates of personal empowerment really serve as the backbone of the Ma'asi, backbone of this program. The six gates of personal empowerment include the the three principles of Chidush, Bechira, and Mishkan, of the meditative exercise called the Pulse of Life, centering, and the inner circle, and walking exercises, and finally what I call the breath of eternity. These are six different areas of personal development that each of you will be taught and learn, and they really serve as the foundation of everything that you'll be able to give over to others. Because really what I've learned is that we only believe that which has really made a difference in our own lives. So the power of this program lies not in its information, but as you learn these six gates of personal empowerment, and you learn to integrate them and internalize them in your own life and see the power that they have, and you begin to see how Chazal, the brilliance of Chazal in enabling us to achieve what I call threading the needle. What I mean by threading the needle is that there are a million ways to miss the eye of the needle, but there's only one way to get the thread through the eye of the needle, and once you've made so, then you can start sewing. So these six gates of personal empowerment, each of them requires that we thread the needle to experience something that makes a difference in our lives. And over again, I've learned myself and what I've taught others what a profound difference each of these make in providing others with a feeling that Hashem really does give them the gift of Bechira at any given moment. So these are the areas that we'll be learning, Bez Hashem. Now, in that sense, because we're learning these six areas, there's a very big difference between what we're teaching and what others learn and teach. What others learn and teach is that if there is a symptom and if there is a problem, so we help diminish the symptom. We help solve the problem. We don't look at the challenge as a symptom or the problem. From the perspective of Menuchas HaNefesh, each of us has a neshama. Rabbi Shalom gives each of us a neshama. The feelings of anxiety or depression or obsessive thinking or shalom bias or low self-esteem or panic or the jitters that a chassan and kala get, or the way parents deal with children or children deal with their older parents, of loneliness, of addictions, all the areas of life that we deal with, that we see around us, whether people that we don't even know who are walking past us on the street, and we see the difficulties that they have by the way they're dressed or the way they're acting, or people in our own families, or people that we meet professionally and attempt to help them, we do not look at the symptom as the problem. The way we see it is that there's an neshama inside this person. And the neshama is a guiding light in life. A neshama is an internal mechanism that enables each of us to live life to its fullest. And there's something that's blocking that neshama from directing our lives. I'll give you a mashal. If a person has a paper cut, a little cut in the finger, now if you go to sleep at night and you have a little paper cut, but you don't bandage it. Maybe it's a little bit dirty, and maybe it's cold out, or maybe you're tired, maybe you didn't sleep enough. When you get up in the morning, the paper cut is not going to heal. The paper cut may even be larger. However, we know that that within us, there is a, what we call a self-healing mechanism. That the eventually gives the body an immune system. And that immune system sends the right kinds of white blood cells and other kinds of processes to heal that paper cut. But it's not happening. Why isn't it happening? It's working, but why isn't it happening? Maybe because there was too much dirt there. Maybe because it's too cold. Maybe because we weren't rested enough. When everything else is in place, right, the healing mechanism works. When everything else is in place, then the neshama has its impact. Our goal is to enable the neshama to have its effect on the way we behave and think and feel, right, and our relationships, in our families, Avodas Hashem. That's the goal of this program. Each of the six areas of personal, six gates of personal empowerment, they only have one goal, and that's to enable the neshama to heal, to have its effect, to guide us, to give us bechira. There's a pasuk that we're all familiar with. We won't see it for another few weeks yet. It's in the Perek Chof Tes, Parshas Vayetze, where the Torah tells us, "Vayisa Yaakov Raglov, Vayelachad So Ben Akedem." There's a Rashi there, a beautiful Rashi. Rashi says, "Mishin is Baser Besura Tova." Shehufta b'shmira noso libo es raglov v'yenasu kal leleches. Beautiful. What happens? What was going on? Yaakov left the mama and tata. He's going to Lavan. Right? He just lost all of his money to... He was just robbed of all of his money. He has no place to go. He has no possessions. He knows he's going to Russia. He has no family anymore. He can't go back home. His brother wants to kill him. He's homeless and penniless. Right? So what happens? He has a chalom. Rabban Shalom makes a promise to him. So Rashi is telling us, when he hears the Besura Tova, right, Noso Libo Esraglov, his lave lifts up his feet. His heart lifts up his feet. The Yenasu Kalaleches, before he was paralyzed, he couldn't move. He was stuck in bed. He was stuck under the stars, sleeping on rocks. He couldn't do anything. There's a power that enabled him to move, and to move easily. Where he was stuck before, he's now free to move. He's free to go into Lavan. But not just free to go to Lavan. He's a different person. I want to discuss a couple of situations before we go back to the concepts. I want to discuss two situations, two of many, many situations that I deal with. I write about them in the book. In the book, I don't write about them so clearly. I disguise them some more because in the book, everyone's going to read. But I'll kind of give you these situations the way they occurred. There's a young lady who was dating, and very hush of family, a Lakewood family. Both parents are very well known, mechanchim, very special girl. And she was dating a very special, she had gone out with a very special young man. And mamish, they, unusually so, they hit it off. Usually I find that when people hit it off so well, it doesn't last very long. It kind of peters out after a few dates, and, you know, it's like a fireworks. So she, so they decided, this is wonderful, we're going to get engaged. But then she told him a story, and it changed everything. What was the story? The story was, now she's 21, 22, when she was 4 or 5 years old, she was in day camp, and she wasn't feeling well, and she vomited. And at the day camp, there were older boys as well. The boys were 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, from larger. So two boys who were older, whether 8 or 9 or 10, they saw her, they saw this four-year-old. And boys can be very cruel. And they made fun of her. And they told her that she was going to be thrown out of camp. And they were going to call her mother, she'd have to wipe it up and clean it up, and they can call the police. And this girl was mamish tortured. At the age of 4 or 5, this little girl went home. Maisa Shahoya, little girl went home, and they told her, don't you dare tell anybody, and she kept the secret to herself. No one knew what happened. And they told her, by the way, that if she ever vomits again, yes, if she ever vomits again, they will make sure that that all their threats are carried out. Little girl hears. For the next 18 years of her life, no one knew it, but this girl had led a life without ever telling anybody. And I'll tell you some of the things that she did. Firstly, now we would say that she's obsessive, but let's not talk about, she would never touch a doorknob because maybe somebody was sick touched it. She never went to a hospital because maybe she would catch a disease there and have to vomit. She would never sit in the middle seat of a car because if she gets nauseous, she would never travel by plane unless she had to. Certainly by herself. Her Zadie was now sick in the hospital. She couldn't go visit him. And what happens when she gets pregnant? She would not eat in a restaurant. Now this was her secret, and no one knew it. A close friend of mine was a friend of the parents, of her parents, and knew the young boy, and asked if I would see her. Without going into all the information, which we'll cover later as we go along, this young lady is now married. Before she got married, she took a trip to Disney World by plane. She visited her Zayde in the hospital. She went to restaurants with her husband. Everything that seemed to be impossible in her life, she had learned to achieve through many of the skills we'll be learning here. And every once in a while I get a wonderful picture from them. I went to the Chasna, Baruch Hashem. Bechira. And at no moment did she ever see herself as someone who was sick. The number of times I saw her, I would say probably 5 times, 6 times. Most of the work she did on her own. She now lives a very, very fulfilled life as an Roshona Rishona. Actually, they sent me another picture from Florida the second time she went this summer. We see the power of the neshama to enable a person to have bechira, to overcome lifelong challenges, paralyzing challenges. Now, in all fairness, this young lady came from a very caring home. We do see situations where people come from very, very depriving backgrounds. So we really have to know what's realistic and what to expect. But one thing I've learned, that everybody has something to learn by acquiring these skills, by learning how to tap into this deeper self, by learning how to acquire the skills of Menuchas HaNefesh. That's one thing I've learned. You know, but I also want to say that as I sit with people day in, day out, because I see a lot of people, I don't see anyone for any long period of time, but maybe exceptions once here and there for their various reasons. But for the most part, I don't see anyone. You know, I don't tell anyone I'll see you for 6 months. My approach is I want to teach you something. Much of what I'm going to teach you, I'm not even going to teach you. I'm going to teach you by giving you recordings to listen to, my book. Right? You're going to come here for 6 weeks and be teaching you. Although there are a lot of groups now going on where people learn these techniques and skills. But my approach is, you'll come when you want to come. You'll learn it, and we're chavrusas. We'll work together. I don't have patience. I don't have people who are sick. Right? I have people where two neshamas on a journey together. I want to say something else which I meant to say and I didn't, which I mentioned in the book. Many years ago, when I was just getting started, I had a meeting with Rav Yitzchak Kuttner Zatzal. And at the time, I met with him about a couple who he was very close to, and he wanted to know how they were doing. It was a big schus to see one of the Gedolei Hador. And before I left, he told me something I'll never forget, but I never understood what it meant until I learned to understand this. He said, when you're helping somebody and you see that person gets better, don't think that you followed the rule book, that you followed the theory that you saw in the textbook. Don't think that that's what happened. What happened is that you have a helik in neshama, and the person you're helping has a helik in neshama, and your neshama was able to heal the other neshama. That's what he said. That a doctor can give you a medication, and that medication is based on hundreds of millions of dollars of research, and that works al pi teva. But healing people, helping people overcome, like this young lady, it's not a technique, it's not a light switch. It's one neshama teaching another neshama how to express itself, how to experience life, how to experience bechira, how to experience that everything the Rabbanu Shalom wants you to be to be a young lady and to be a wife and to be a mother, right? And to be free of the trauma of 2 10-year-old boys who had a distorted sense of having a good time when you were a little girl, that the Rosh Hashanah knew that they were there. He knew who these boys were. Right? They weren't strange. He knew what they would do. He knew what you would go through. And he wanted you to find your Bechira. He wanted you to find the answer. Right? Nothing is by chance. Nothing is without. It's the first of the, we say every morning, we say the Shlosha Sayikim of the Rambam. Right? We say it clearly. There's nothing that happens in the world without the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nothing is by chance. Nothing. There's another situation. Another situation is a young man came to me who was having great difficulties in many years of his life, his job, his marriage, his kids. And without getting into the pratim of what the reasons were, I learned that he had not looked at his father in the face for 15 years. Imagine. He wasn't a sick boy in that sense. His father, I met, was a very fine person. And he wasn't even sure why. As a matter of fact, he knew that he had not looked at his father since he was about 12, 13 years old, and now he was in close to 30. He knew it. No matter what he tried, he couldn't bring himself to look at his father. Baruch Hashem, I taught him the concept of centering, which we will learn in a few weeks, Baruch Hashem. And for the first time in his life, first time since he can remember, he walked into his parents' house and he looked at his father. Didn't fall apart, didn't have a panic attack, didn't have anxiety. Power of Neshama. Power of Neshama. Now, I want to teach you something. Can I have the sefer, please? About Menuchas Nefesh. If there is one mimer of Menuchas Nefesh that I believe has had a greater effect on me than any other mimer, comes from the Mir Rosh Hashiva, Rav Ruchem Lubavitz Zasal. And if you want to see it, it's in Das Torah, Bereishis. It's on page Kuf Mem Vav. So I can't read the whole thing. I'll read parts of it. And I'll try to explain how I understand it. The Maimor is the Sod of Olam Haba, Netzer Matai, Inyan HaMenucha. The Menucha is the Sod of Olam Haba. So he says, Dibarnu Shieshtan Beis Metzias. There are two Metzias. Metzias Shel Metzias, there's the reality of realities. U'Metzias Zos Eino Nesuna L'Shinuyim. This Metzias doesn't change. It's always the same. For he built the mitnadnetes, right? We learned from that Kayin was Novanat, right? Building Midlandenis. It doesn't move. A Messias, it doesn't move. Karka de lo nayadai. Karka that stands still. Umitseis es lavovo, umotsoso es lavovo, nemon lefanecha. Right? The Bar Shalom found the lev nemon lefanecha. Vieshno Messias, hafech, hapechia, mizos. And there are another kind of Messias. Opposite side of the spectrum. Messias shall build the Messias. The Messias that has no Messias. Based on, we'll see. Messias shall heyadar vechisoron. Absence and chisoron. Lacking. Vihi adraba dafka nechse denayadai. This is a constantly moving neches. Sheker ein la maglayim, right? Sheker has no maglayim. We know the shuf, the shin kofresh, are always teetering. They're always shaking. They're never stable. Mitnadnei debioter, always shaking. Kamotza sher to defend a ruach. Einu mechazkim, einu machzik. Shum mamad, they never have their mamad. And then he brings a pasuk from Yeshua that we learn, that we read in the Yom Kippur maftir. He says, "Varashoim kiyam nigrash hasheket lo yuchal v'yigrushu meimov refesh v'tit." That the Varashoim are like a yam nigrash, and the sheket, they can't experience quiet, and they're always v'yigrushu meimov. And the waters are always swirling and heaving, refesh and tit, mud and dirt. And we see around us the difference between a world of Torah, which is based on menuchas nefesh of shalom v'shalva hashkev v'vetach. We look at a gadol, we see what gadol is. If we look around us, the world that's bouncing and hopping and popping, always in a tumult, always looking for excitement, always looking for the newest and the greatest and the best, always bungee jumping. Right? That's what the Yeshaya Navi had to say 3,000 years ago. Varashoyim kiyam nigrash. Pizer and Nefesh has many forms, and we'll learn about them, but they're always place us in a Yam Nigrash, in a swirling sea. I want to say a couple of other things which are very important here. I'm going to skip a little bit because I don't want to spend too much time on this. It's very kedai to look at this Maimer. I've read it over many times, and each time I look at it, it becomes has greater and greater depth. Omeyata hari novin inyan malas hamenucha. Right? What is menucha, he asks. Hare kol sod olam habohu rak menucha. You understand now, one thing we want to teach here, I could never say this to anybody who's not from and believe that they are understanding me or want to believe me. That menuchas hanefesh, and this is what he says here, menuchas hanefesh, you have one foot in olam hazeh and another foot in olam haba. Olam haba is menuchas hanefesh. That's why Shabbos is olam haba. Netzematai, this is what we're planting. Natua umushrash v'tachlis, we're planted and we're rooted with the tachlis. Bilti nayad, we don't move. Vagam shavshu me'ein olam haba. Iko hayesod bo hu menucha. That the menucha, and we learn from this week's Pasha, bo shavas bo menucha. Right? Hashem finished with the Maisa Bereshis. What was missing? Menucha. Ika yisod hu menucha. Kamo she'anu amrim betfila yom menucha. V'nitan l'ros inyan menucha v'nidrash l'shabbos kodesh ma she'anu amrim menucha. Now he goes into something which is at the heart of everything I teach. Menucha avo nedova. Listen to this now, he says. Hine avos habrios yotseis mi malas amenucha. The ability to love another person only emerges from menucha. You cannot be a person who loves another person without menucha. Nedova motzei ne menucha. The ability to give comes from menucha. If you want to have one line here that'll tell you everything wrong with the world, it's this one. Believe menucha iev shali yos avas abrias. Without menucha, you can't love anybody. Believe menucha iev shali yos nedova bishum ofen. You can't be a nodiv. Mehi menucha yotze sinas abrias. From without menucha, all we have is sinner. Menucha emes v'amuna, hine emes v'amuna hu misod ha-menucha. Ma'asod shel lo nayad, ha-hefech mi-sheker eno reglayim. Ki sheker ha-rehu niyad ha-yose godol. Menucha shalom v'shalva, this is all from the mincha now. Menucha shalom v'shalva, hashke v'vetach, menucha shalemo, sh'ato rotzebo. Sod menucha kezeu, Shel shalom v'shal v'hashke v'vetach nidrash l'shabbos kodesh. I want to tell you, I had a girl came to see me before I left. Her parents insisted they come to see me, and she says to me, "My name is and I want to tell you that I have nothing else to tell you. Wait. So I said to her, "Sorella, you know Menuchas Nefesh?" She said, "I have Menuchas Nefesh. Don't tell me about Menuchas Nefesh." Now, one of the things we're going to learn is that it shouldn't take you more than 2 minutes to assess someone's Menuchas Nefesh. Sometimes within 30 seconds, sometimes within 5 seconds. Because there are so many giveaways, so many things that we learn to pick up. Sometimes it's the way Shalom talks, the way she moves her hands, right? Sometimes the way he's checking his cell phone when he comes in, right? Sometimes it's the, right? It's the, you know, the clothing, right? Sometimes it's Menuchas HaNefesh is something. Now, there's nothing wrong with anybody. Everybody has within them this ability. Someone asked the altar of Kelm. The altar of Kelm asked the question once. I don't know if I mentioned this. If I were to ask a team of psychologists, why does a baby smile? So I'm sure the answer I would get is a baby smiles because a baby learns that when it moves its mouth a certain way, it gets people to respond. So it learns when people respond, it feels safe. So you learn that movement, which enables the baby learns to. But the Alter Kem says a baby smiles because a baby shows its true neshama. That there is in each of us this baby, this neshama. The baby doesn't know how to cover it up, so it smiles. So I know when Sarah comes in and she's talking like, or when this guy comes in and he's angry, right? And this is coming, she's scared, nightmares. No, no, no. I've been in therapy for 16 years, and then. I know that there's a neshama there. And that neshama is still a hate. That neshama lives within menuchas and nefesh. It never goes away. It's always there. The Rav Shalom put it there. My role is to teach this person. So when this young man has not been able to look at his father for 15 years because of something that he did or said, maybe he remembers, maybe he doesn't remember. And the fact that with this boy, he did not remember what the father did. I knew what the father did. Because he told me and didn't realize what he was telling me. I knew. I discussed it with him. But discussing with him wasn't enough to enable him to go into the father and to. I'll give another case, another situation. A young boy, I'm giving a lot of, some are married, some are dating, some are single, but they're all the same. The boy comes from a very choshev mishpacha, very mamish, top echelon mishpacha. And for years he's been suffering from a very serious problem. He's a very delicate boy. He's a mamish mitzuyan. But he gets embarrassed easily and he starts blushing. And you can see, I can talk to him, and if he say one word, you'll see his face start to, like a neon light. But he's a very wonderful boy, very sweet boy. Problem is, he's now 27 years old, he's got many girls. And every girl walks away. Why they walk away? Because he knows that as he's dating, he's worried about blushing. So it's like, remember when I was a kid, by Yom Kippur, after you had the Surah Mafsekes, you always kind of did this to see if you were thirsty, right? Always checking. You never do that, but it's before Yom Kippur, so you're doing it, right? So he's always checking his temperature to see if his face feels warm. And by checking it, whether it's going to be that way or not, he's going to make it happen. So before he knows it, he's wondering, it happens, now he's embarrassed, and now he's looking away, and now he is coughing, and now he's sputtering, and now he's mad. And the girl said, "Who's this Meshuggah?" Well, that's a tricky guy. What is it? But no one knows, right? No one knows. And even she sees him blushing, she's not going to register that he's blushing. Not going to see him. Maybe she won't be aware of it. Maybe there will be. I tell her, just watch, right? Maybe she'll see, but stop. She's not going to see anything. Right? I saw him three times. He's been going on for years, going since he was like 13 years old, 12 years old. And where it started also. He always had that in his ear. I met the father was like that also. But in school, things happened in where he was embarrassed and things happened. He called me a couple of days before he left, before Yontif. For the first time since he can remember, he kept himself in check. He's going on a third date. Third date. He's flying. Bechira. Bechira. The neshama keeps everything in place. The thoughts, the physiology, the goof. They don't need them. This is what the Eibishter gave us. This is what we're giving over to people. Naso libo es raglov. We have a heart, we have an neshama that enables us to use ourselves the way the Rosh Hashanah wants us to use ourselves. Now, there's another very important concept that I must say, coming to Eretz Yisrael is always miuchad. I think more than any other time I understood it here. It's almost a new definition for me. It's very subtle, but it's so important. There is a pasuk that we read that we see in the Akedas Yitzchak. V'yechu Shem Yachtov. The pasuk is repeated four times that Avram and Yitzchak walk together. Where are they going? They're going to the Akedah. They're walking to the Akedah. Avram is going to shecht his son. Yitzchak is going to be shechted. And Yelchu Shneim Yachtav, they walk together. We see something in the Frum Welt that we don't see anywhere else in the world. You'll see a father walking with his son hand in hand. Sometimes the son is 11, sometimes he's 10, sometimes he's 25. Right? Each is ensconced in the metzias of a kesher with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Each of us has. This doesn't occur anyplace else in the world. Because everywhere else is Yam Shenigrash, right? Nigrash B'Yam. That the inner drives are all over the place. In football hats and sneakers and this and that and iPhones and this. Right? Here, in Yiddishkeit, in the Shema, Menuchas HaNefesh, we're at the eye of the needle. We have a Kesher of the Rosh Hashanah. And with the Kesher of Rosh Hashanah, they're going together. They're walking together. There's a reality of life. We know there are 365 days a year. We know that there are four basic colors, right? We know that there are principles of mathematics and physics. These are realities. The reality of our life experiences, when in Menuchas HaNefesh, when we're at the eye of the needle, we are who we are supposed to be. We are as clear as any mathematical equation. We are as clear as 365 days a year. We are as clear as 8 scales in the musical octave. Life has clarity. The experience has clarity. We get it through mitzvahs, we get it through Torah, we get it through zmiras, we get it through tefillah. So what we are trying to do is help individuals as individuals within groups learn how to thread that needle, learn how to be in the center of self, learn how to live quietly in the own Dalet Amos, where there's one foot in the Metzius of Olam Hazeh and the other foot Boto Rega, a foot in Olam Haba. That's what we're teaching here. We're not teaching anything else. We're teaching what Rabbi Rucham suffered. And in that sense, we're not competing with mental health practitioners. It's a different world. Somebody asked me, what do you use? Many years I studied with some very smart people, some of whom were gedolim in that sense, in the world of secular education. So what do you learn? What do you use in those years? And I say Ephes. Not because I'm so served, because I'm to hate. I'm just in a different world. I understand life differently. I hope they're successful in teaching mental health. I don't compete with it. I'm not trying. Chazal doesn't compete with it. A Yid is not a goy. And even Yidden can use mental health. But that's not what we're teaching. That's not what we're teaching. So, so I had a mashal. It's like a person goes into a garden, and a garden has beautiful flowers and beautiful stone formations and running water and aromas and birds that are flying. Just one magnificent, inspiring sight, aroma, impression after the next. But if somebody were to put on blindfolds and put earplugs in and stuff our noses, so instead of being inspired by the rock formation, we're going to fall over the rocks. Instead of seeing the beauty of the roses, we're going to fall into the rose bushes, and we're going to get cut up by the right. Menuchas HaNefesh enables us to open all our senses to the beauty of life, to the garden of life, in our families, with ourselves, in our Avodas Hashem, and learning Chasodim. Without it, all the senses are closed, and we fall into the rose bush, and we get a cut, so we put a band-aid on. But that's not the problem. Menuchas HaNefesh opens us to the beauty of life and enables us to incorporate into our own lives. And as we incorporate it into our own lives, right, and we see the difference that it makes in a moment-to-moment experience, when we say to ourselves in the middle of a tefillah, in the middle of a chesed, in Torah, oh, I have one foot in Olam Hazeh and another foot in Olam Haba. Now we know that we have something to teach somebody. So this little young lady who came in to see me, and she was, and I know the parents. Our parents are mamish iluyim, right? And all the iluyish stuff is now churning, right? But no one controlling it, right? It's all out of whack, out of control. I want to tell you, very fascinating. So I said to her, I want to teach you a meditative experience. Meditative? I don't know that stuff. So I have one sheet that I said, listen. It's never anybody's fault that I can't help it. It's my fault, not their fault. That's it. That's the way I am. Hashem made them. They're a shalim. It's there. I just don't know how to mafteach. It's not there. It's my fault. So, I said, try. So she says, okay. So I taught her the Pulse experience, which I'll go with some other time. And she's doing this. So I said to Sarah, I want to tell you that it's not working. She said, there's less stuff for me. I don't remember what I told her. I can't recall what I told her, but I told her something. She says, oh, now I understand. Try it again. I did it again, and she cooperated 100%. I spoke to the father later, and when she left, she says, now I understand. Father says she's like that. She'll fight you like crazy. Once you understand what you're saying, then she'll cooperate. So everybody is that way. It's easy to explain it to others than other times. So we're going to learn all of these things. We're going to learn the Bez Hashem. Hopefully we'll get the online technology set up. We'll use it for a bracha. So I think this is a good place to stop. Next time we will decide when, what time of the day, and what day, and we'll do that after we finish the session, and then I'll give you more pratim of how we're going to conduct the program over the next session, 9 sessions.
Yeah. We have any